Please stand by. We're about to begin. Good day, everyone, and welcome to the SCO Group's first quarter 2003 earnings conference call. At this time, everyone is in a listen-only mode. Later, a question and answer session will be open. Today's call is being recorded. Participating on the call are Dara McBride, President and Chief Executive Officer, and Robert Brinch, Chief Financial Officer. Each of you should have a copy of the press release issued this morning containing our first quarter 2003 results, which will be discussed further in this call. If we do not have a copy, please call Kathy Martin at 801-765-4999 so that we may send you one immediately. I wish to point out to the participants on today's conference call that the information provided during this call will include forward-looking statements within the meaning of the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Our performance is subject to significant risks and uncertainties that could cause our actual results to differ materially from those that may be projected. These forward-looking statements are made only as of the date of this earnings release conference call, and the SCO Group undertakes no obligation to update or revise the projections of revenue or earnings or other forward-looking statements, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise. Accordingly, you should not place undue reliance on these projections or future revenue or results or forward-looking statements. These risks and uncertainties may cause our actual results, level of activity, performance, or achievement to be materially different from any future results implied by these statements. For a full discussion of these and other risks, please see our Form 10-K for the year ended October 31, 2001, and our subsequent Forms 10-Q, each available at www.sco.com. I now turn the call over to Mr. Daryl McBride, President and Chief Executive Officer. Please go ahead, sir.
Okay, thank you, and thank you all for joining our call today. The format of the call today, I'm going to make some introductory comments regarding the performance of the SCO during the first quarter of fiscal year 2003. Then I'm going to turn the time over to Bob Bench, our CFO. He will give you more of a detailed analysis on how things went for the quarter. And then I will come back and detail a few of our wins we had, customer wins, and make some summary comments, then we'll open it up for Q&A. The quarterly net loss of $724,000 reported earlier this morning was the company's smallest loss in its operating history. This is the fifth consecutive quarter of decreasing losses as we have adhered to our operating model that is steadily driving us towards profitability. We're pleased with the company's progress during the past several quarters as we head towards profitability. For the first time in the company's history, we generated positive EBITDA, or in other words, earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization. The company's EBITDA for the first quarter of fiscal 2003 was $361,000 compared to a negative $9.2 million in the comparable period a year ago. The other significant part about that, we made the projections in the last conference call that we expected to be EBITDA positive, or at least break even this quarter, and in fact we did not just break even, we came in slightly positive. Even though the sluggish economy and our lower IT spending continues to hamper revenue, we have made significant progress towards becoming profitable. Based on the products introduced during the last two quarters, and particularly our focus on our SCOX and SCOSource new strategic initiatives, we are confident in our future growth opportunities. Based on current conditions, we expect that revenue for our second quarter ending April 30, 2003 will be in the range of $23 million to $25 million. These projections are based on anticipated revenue from our current operating platforms of $13 million to $15 million and roughly $10 million from the SCOSource licensing initiative. While we anticipate significant revenue from the SCOSource activities this quarter, we are currently unable to estimate the level of potential revenue from this initiative in future quarters. Bob, why don't you go ahead and give now a more of a detailed breakdown on how things went for the quarter.
Thanks, Darrell. We've been successful in consolidating our worldwide operations, and in so doing have cut more than $11.6 million from our quarterly operating expenses while maintaining our significant worldwide sales and marketing infrastructure and keeping our large base of resellers active in supporting their customers with our products. of the $13.5 million in revenues, 35%, or $4.7 million related to OpenServer, 31%, or $4.2 million related to UnixWare, 14%, or $1.8 million related to other platform-related subscription-based offerings, and 1%, or $100,000 related to Linux, 1%, or $200,000 related to our extended platform products, and 18%, or $2.5 million related to services and support offerings. The breakdown of revenue by geography is as follows. $7.3 million, or 54%, were generated in the Americas. $5 million, or 37%, were generated in EMEA, Europe, and surrounding areas. And $1.2 million, or 9%, were generated in Asia-Pac countries. Revenue in the Americas has been steady now for the past three consecutive quarters. We hope this signifies the bottom of the economic slump in the USA. Europe and Asia still seem to be battling a tough economic environment. However, our new products are gaining traction faster in Europe than any other part of the world right now. We're encouraged that IT spending worldwide may begin to pick up toward the end of this year. We've also focused our efforts on increasing our gross margin over the past six quarters and have been successful in increasing our margin by 10 percentage points during that time. We plan to continue to grow our business by supplying our customers with significant value-add products that are also high margin to us. We're also focused on the software solutions that will be subscription-based and thereby create a long-term renewable revenue stream to SCO while being very economical for our customers. Our customer accounts remain current with our DSO at about 60 days, which is excellent given our economic environment and the longer collection cycle for Europe. Our bad debt write-off has remained at its historic low level of less than 1% of revenues. Again, this shows the strength of our excellent customer base and their appreciation for our products and services. Our current liabilities, excluding deferred revenue, are $13.7 million. This is a manageable level compared to our current assets of $19.6 million. With no long-term debt, the company is positioned well to use any cash generated from operations and SCOSource licensing revenue to invest in its future strategy.
So Bob touched on a key element there with respect to our worldwide infrastructure. As you can see, we have taken our quarterly losses down to the tune of nearly $10 million per quarter, yet we've maintained this worldwide global infrastructure. We have over 16,000 resellers, and we have hundreds of salespeople worldwide who sell into hundreds of thousands of customers. The customer wins we had through the quarter were impressive, both in terms of worldwide reach, size and type of the customer, as well as the number of customers. Just to give you a flavor of some of the customer wins we had during the quarter, and I won't go into a lot of detail on these, but again, starting around the world, we came out with our first Linux product based on United Linux during the quarter. We had some nice Linux wins that came as a result of that. We had one in Taiwan with LCC Taiwan. In the European region, we had Pearl Vision Centers, France Telecom, and the Ministry of the Interior in Slovakia that all signed up for deals with us on SCO Linux. In Latin America, we had a Linux win with the Chilean Police Department. We continue to have strong customer acceptance with our Unix-based products, both UnixWare as well as OpenServer. Some of those customers include Citigroup, McDonald's, Avaya, the U.S. Navy, all of those here in North America. Back over to the European region, those wins would include Greater Manchester Police Department, Carrefour out of France, Croatian Post Office, Social Security of Spain, etc. Again, the strength of our core business continues, and we're very happy about that. It's a significant milestone when a company begins to generate a positive operating margin. This quarter marks the first time in 9 years since the inception of the company when revenue was greater than operating expenses. We generated the $360,000 in EBITDA this quarter and feel we're well on our way to generating net positive cash in the future. Our cash reserves have been maintained without having to use our working capital line of credit that we put in place during the quarter. Even with the payment of the company's long-term debt during the past year and the buyback of over 30% of our outstanding stock, we've maintained a strong cash balance. At this time, the company has no debt. Its long-term liabilities relate, for the most part, to restructure costs and lease payments for facilities the company is no longer using. With the very positive level of projected revenue for this quarter, which will be augmented by our expected license revenue reported earlier, the company should not be required to raise additional capital in the near future other than for strategic acquisitions should an opportunity arise. With a clean balance sheet and slimmed down equity position, the company is prepared to begin the execution of its growth strategy. We are emerging from the sluggish economy with projected cash flow positive operations and a strong line of new products. These assets, together with our growing sales and services channel of resellers, should give the company a great opportunity to continue its leadership in the software platform business in the coming years. So that's the breakdown of our quarter. We'll now open it up for Q&A.
Thank you. Today's question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you'd like to ask a question, we do ask that you signal by pressing star 1 on your touchtone telephone. If you find that your question has been asked and answered, you may remove yourself by pressing the pound or hash key. Once again, that is star 1 to ask a question. If you are on a speakerphone, we ask that you unmute your phone to allow your signal to reach our equipment. We'll go first to Kyle Krueger with Apollo Capital.
Good morning, and congratulations on attaining a milestone for the company. I am a brand new shareholder as of this week, and I've got a couple questions. The first one being your 16,000 distributors worldwide. What sort of a mind? And I realize this is this is going to require a generalization because you've got some customers that are some resellers that are doing big volumes and some that probably aren't doing a whole heck of a lot. But what sort of mind share do you have with those distributors in your relevant product lines? I mean, to what extent do you have exclusivity? Are they representing a whole host of competitive products?
Great question, Hal, and we are glad to have you on board as a new investor. The channel, we've actually gone in and done an in-depth channel analysis in the last 90 days, and so we actually have some very good information regarding those channel resellers. The way it appears right now, Hal, is that we have very strong acceptance with respect to the core products that we have. The core business of OpenServer and UnixWare continue to be pushed out by a number of these resellers. The mind share that we have with them ties directly to the fact that in most cases, many of these resellers have built their intellectual property on top of our operating system. So what SCO is most known for is the vertical software application that runs a business, whether it's a small, medium-sized business or a replicated site business. So if you go into McDonald's, for example, we actually have a solution provider that has built an application that when you go in to the McDonald's store next time, look up, you'll see the computer up there running. The application that runs that was built by our reseller. And so unlike some software products that come and go rather fleetingly, it appears that we have a strong base retention with these customers because they have built their products on top of ours. The numbers of resellers that are buying from us are in the thousands every quarter. You know, we'd like to get that number up. I'd like to say that all 16,000 of them bought something in the last quarter, but that's not the case. But clearly, at least a third of those, it appears, on a regular basis or on a quarterly basis are buying something from us.
You know, your relevant product lines with those resellers, or are they just basically free to, you know, rep and spec in and design in, you know, any operating system that they deem appropriate?
It, again, is a mix. We have some resellers that are really Skoll through and through. We have some resellers that 100% of their business is based on Skoll. I would say that's not the majority. I don't remember the numbers offhand. I'd have to go back and look at our study. But clearly, we deal with a lot of resellers that have access to multiple operating systems. And so that's the breakdown on that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it seems like that's just a tremendous asset in that, you know, that small employee segment of the market that has been so difficult for anybody to penetrate, yet the market size is vast.
It's interesting that the enterprise software market has decreased, $42 billion market and decreasing. The SMB marketplace for software is $47 billion and growing at the clip of about 16% per year. So it's probably not surprising that many large companies are talking about taking offerings to the small, medium-sized business. Now, the challenge in doing that is your cost of sales are too high to have a direct sales force calling on them. And so unless you have a channel similar to what we have, even though you want to go there, you're a lot of times prohibited from it due to lack of infrastructure.
Yeah, yeah. Let me ask you a question on the $10 million revenue expectation from the Skoll licensing initiative.
Yes.
I mean, I would imagine that, and I don't even know what your arrangement is with the law firm that's representing you in your intellectual property harvest effort, but it would seem to me that those are pretty much pure licensing or royalty revenues that ought to have a very high margin attached to them.
Very high margin is a good way to describe it.
I mean, you know, I don't. Can you detail what kind of a contingency fee arrangement that you've got with the law firm? I mean, you know, from my way of thinking, you take in revenues and given the speed with which you have amassed this big number of revenues, I mean, I would guess that there aren't a whole lot of prosecution costs associated with it. Not that you're even planning on going down that road, but basically your expense associated with getting that money in is opening the check and taking it to the bank, unless you've got costs to prosecute and a contingency fee due to the law firm. So I look at $10 million in revenues, and it would seem like that $10 million in revenues could very well carry $6 or $8 million worth of operating profits.
Yeah, we're not commenting right now on what the profits are going to be for the quarter as a result of some of these licensing initiatives, but clearly it's going to be high margin. With respect to the law firm, we are not speaking publicly about our arrangement there, but I can say that we have business alignment. We have business interest alignment with respect to how we're going at it. So the law firm has an interest in what we're going out and doing, and so we think that's the right way to approach it. Now, with respect to the majority of the customers, as we've gone down this Skoll-sourced path, you know, the first blush read on this that many of us have is, gosh, this is a scary place to go. What are people going to say when you step up and say, hey, wait a minute, that's my intellectual property, you need to pay me some money? And we've been pleasantly surprised that the majority of the people we talk to are actually very reasonable about it. Most of the discussions we have are very friendly. And in many cases, we have people that have seen the press releases, the stories in the press, and they've called us up and said, hey, I'm concerned that I might be infringing here. Can I sign up for a program? And so what we have done is we've taken a very friendly approach to going out and enforcing our intellectual property in the marketplace.
And we'll go next to Randy Rickhock with Investor.
You there?
Yes.
Great quarter, guys. You finally made a target. Love it. My question relates to the licensing revenue as well. And I heard the discussion, and basically I'm getting the feeling that your collection of this revenue is not going to be adversarial, and it'll probably be more cooperative. Is that the feeling you guys got on that?
So, again, the response there is the vast majority of the cases, it has actually been a very cooperative, very friendly set of discussions, and we're in various levels of discussions with many, many companies right now. And there have really been an isolated one or two cases where people have just told us to take a hike. And in those cases, you know, we'll take a different approach. We didn't bring on one of the world's best law firms to have people tell us to take a hike, and then we take a hike. So, you know, in those cases, we'll look at them differently. But for the 95% plus case of the people and the companies we're talking to, we're getting very positive responses.
Okay. I guess a follow-up on that would be, do you have any clue, like, the sizes? Are these lots of small companies, or have you got some good cooperating agreements with some fairly large companies?
The range of discussions we're in right now go from small startup companies that are less than 2 years old to Fortune 50 conglomerates.
I guess what I'm just trying to get a feeling for sort of a breakdown. You know, is it a couple people that are going to accommodate a few million of that, or 5 million, or is it going to be lots of smaller cooperative agreements?
We don't know.
Okay.
I can tell you that we're in discussions with small folks and big folks, and again, it's a little bit. We're very early. We've only had this initiative in the marketplace for a couple of months now, and it's really premature. I expect by the end of this quarter. Just like we did today, we listed out some areas we worked with customers and different wins we've had through the quarter. So I expect at the end of this quarter we'll sit down and be able to give a better answer to that.
And we'll go next to Herb Jackson, Renaissance Ventures.
Good morning. Great quarter. I think your balance sheet will soon be a thing of beauty.
We like the direction it's going.
What can you tell me about the were there any seasonal effects in just getting back to the boring the product revenue.
Right. I'll make one comment, then I'll let Bob continue on that. I do know that for the first quarter we had given guidance on 13.5 to 15 million on the core business. We hit at the 13.5 number, and it was a challenging quarter from a logistical point of view. We had our sales people off the streets for a big sales launch we did. We pulled everybody in, get them all geared up for the beginning of the fiscal year. We had a president's club trip that people who hit their quota were off for another week. We had Thanksgiving week off. We had a couple weeks during Christmas. So it was actually a very challenging time just from a standpoint of how many days did we have folks out making sales calls. And so we were encouraged that in spite of some of those challenges that we came in where we did. Now, Bob, I don't know if you have anything you want to add on top of that.
No, other than that, that's pretty well our internal. Externally, we see the U.S. starting to come back, but Europe and Asia-Pac still seem to be holding off on IT spending. So we are still struggling with economies there, and feel quite fortunate that our strong customer base has continued to buy product during this time. We're looking this quarter optimistically that those economic conditions will begin to change soon. IDC studies that we've had done expect toward the end of this year that we will start seeing the IT budget start to open up again in companies. But it certainly has been a long spell with the economy.
What can you tell me about the SCO update service that just got included in the new open server release? Is that priced with it, or is that an option to add packs? How does the pricing work?
It's both. Basically, you can go either direction with that. The thing we like about SCO update service is it really moves us down the path of being able to move into a subscription computing model. And we think that's important, especially in the open server side, where you have technology that on one hand is dated, but on the other hand is still extremely valuable. Customers love it. They keep using it. And for running a retail operation, there isn't a better operating system out there today at a point of sale than SCO Open Server.
So would it be fair to say you might have 5% consistently recurring revenues right now, and going forward, maybe 12 months out, you might move to 15 or 20% smooth revenues?
We're not prepared to comment on the exact nature of that at this point in time. It's a little bit premature to put those numbers out.
Okay.
But we are, Herb, moving forward in that regard, and over the next 2 to 3 years, we would expect a significant amount of our revenues now to be subscription-based.
Good stuff. One last detailed question. What your loss carry-forwards, what are they total now?
About $80 million.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Once again, that is star 1 to ask a question. And we'll pause just a moment. And gentlemen, there appear to be no further questions. I'll turn the conference back over to you for any additional or closing comments.
Thanks for joining us. Bob, do you have anything else?
No.
Okay. Thanks for joining our call today, and we'll look forward to talking to you again in 90 days.
This does conclude our conference call. You may disconnect at this time. We do appreciate your participation.